So the subject I'd like to talk to you tonight about is depression. And what's on my heart is that I feel and I fear the wisdom of this world coming into the church, into Christianity, into the assembly. Man tries in vain to treat and to diagnose depression while keeping God completely out of it. Sin is removed. Actions are justified as we appeal to the authority of man. And so tonight, with the Lord's help, what I would like to do is to try to look into this subject and appeal to God and to His Word. I do want to make one comment up front that tonight's message is not for the heart, it's for the conscience. I think that this subject should be taken up in regards to the heart as well. It's just not what the Lord has laid on my heart. So I hope that through the message tonight, as or if we struggle with depression, that it will stir us up in regards to what God has said. So what is, I'm going to define, what is mental health? You can look this up on Google. Mental health is just a person's emotional well-being. What is depression? Depression, as I'm defining it tonight, is persistent feelings of sadness or apathy. So there's different ways that we can define depression. You guys might have seen me walking up here to the podium and said to yourself, well, that's depressing. Or you might look at depression as just being like intense sadness over something. Depression can be used in those ways, but that's not how I'm using it tonight. I'm using it in the way that it's like this black cloud that's over us, and we can't shake it. Our thoughts keep going inward to whatever is causing this thing. And it's like this cycle that we can't get out of. Persistent feelings of sadness. I'd like to take up some baseline truths. And I'm not taking up these baseline truths in order to pepper you guys with a bunch of verses and then go on to subjective thoughts on depression. And then if you don't agree with me, I'll gaslight you into thinking that you're just not spiritual enough to see it. These verses that we're going to take up, these baseline truths, are critical not only to shed light on depression, but almost every sphere and aspect and difficulty in life. And it's critical, I believe, to get an understanding, a good understanding of these baseline truths. And as we run into difficulties, consider these truths in light of whatever it is that we're going through. So the first one is creation. The Adamic creation. What did God do? He created man. So let's look at a couple of verses in Genesis. The first one in Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27 says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them." And then Genesis chapter 5 and verse 1. "In the day that God created man, he made him in the likeness of God." Just another comment. I'm reading from the New Translation. It's a little more accurate than the King James Version and a lot more readable. I'll read slow so that you can make sure you follow along, but it's very readable with the King James. So these two things that are presented here are that man was created in the image of God, meaning he was created as God's representative. A representation of God. You pull out a quarter and you see a picture of George Washington on it. It's a representative of George Washington. You wouldn't say this is literally George Washington, but you would say this is George Washington because it's his representation. He also created man in his likeness, meaning that when man was created in the garden, he was like God. There was no sin. There was nothing that was contrary to God's nature when he created him. He created him as his representative and as his likeness. What happened? Well, we all know the story. Sin came in. Let's look over at Romans chapter 5. The serpent came. Eve took the fruit. She was deceived. Adam, with her, took the fruit. He was not. Romans 5 verse 12 says, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men, because all have sinned. And so as we heard Lord's Day morning in the Sunday school, Adam sinned, and what Adam won as a result of that sin was a sin nature, and what we have received, being from the seed of Adam, is a sin nature. But it's not just a sin nature, it's also sinning. All have sinned. So it's that sin nature that produces sins. So into this Adamic creation that God created perfectly, sin came in to mar it. Second Corinthians chapter 4, another enemy we have. We have one that is sin. Now we're going to look at Satan. Who is Satan? How is he referred to? What is his character? 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4. Whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. If you read this, the chapter, the few verses before, the Apostle Paul is stressing his desire not to be the cause for an individual to not believe the gospel. He wanted to live in a way that would not shine a bad light on the gospel. And if somebody was not going to believe, they were not going to believe as a result of the God of this world coming in and blinding them. It wasn't going to be on the Apostle Paul. But it's really just that phrase, the God of this age, or the God of this world. That's what Satan is characterized by. He is the God of this world, the God of this age. Let's turn over to 1 Peter chapter 5. See some more of Satan's characteristics. 1 Peter chapter 5, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. This is what the God of this age is trying to do. He is trying to devour you, and he is trying to devour me. Let's look at yet another enemy that we have. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. The world. And in the context of the message tonight, we're going to be looking at the world and its wisdom. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 19, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he catches the wise in their own craftiness. What resource then do we have? We have all these enemies. What resource do we have to look at a subject like depression and find light? To look at a subject like depression and find the truth. Well, we know what the answer is. We have the Word of God, something that far exceeds any of these enemies that we have. So just one verse on the Word of God, Psalm 119, verse 105. For each one of these baseline truths, as we know, there are a myriad of verses that we could turn to. And add to. And it's a good exercise to do that. So Psalm 119, 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. What is going to illuminate the truth about depression? Is it turning to the wisdom of this world and asking somebody who doesn't even believe in God Or is it allowing the Word of God to illuminate? Is depression real? Is it just in somebody's head? Is it made up? Let's look at Matthew chapter 4 and verse 24. Then his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics, and paralytics, and he healed them. Now, if you look at that word epileptic, that word was not even around when this was written. And if you look in the Strong's Concordance, he mentions that. Another thought is moonstruck. And the thought behind this verse is more the thought of mental illness. Somebody having something wrong in their mind. And what this verse tells us is that they, just like a paralytic, needed healing. They needed help. So diseases of the mind are real. Depression is real. It's not just in somebody's head, though it is in the mind. So I want to say that because probably at one point in my life when I was younger, I didn't believe in depression. I thought it was just probably people being dramatic or something like that. But the Word of God shines light on that thought. So now I'd like to talk to you about mental health and specifically depression. And what I would like to do is I'd like to go through a series of questions because that's how I look into the Word of God. I ask a question and I look to see what the answer is. And so I'd like to look at a series of questions and then see if we can find answers from the Word of God. So the first one is, should I be concerned about mental health? Is it something that I should be concerned about? And the answer is yes. We are made spirit, soul, and body. If I had my arm dangling off of my body, I would not be here right now. I would be at the hospital. Why would I be at the hospital? Because something was wrong with me. And so if there's something wrong with me physically, I'm not just a physical creation of God. I am also an emotional and a spiritual creation of God. And so we need to be concerned about our mental health as much as we need to be concerned about our physical health. God cares about our mental health. I'll just mention two places where I believe God is concerned about our mental health. The first one we took up this morning, it was in regards to prophecy. You'll remember, I'll read the verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 29 says, "Let two or three prophets speak and let the others judge." I believe that the reason it is limited to two or three is because God is caring about our mental health. He is limiting the amount of prophets that would prophesy so that we can take this extraordinarily important message that God has given in small doses and not be inundated to the point that we cannot retain these important things. And if God had other messages, they would come out at other times. So God cares. He understands the frailty of our makeup. And then one more, we read this morning. I believe Matt read it, or he read it yesterday. I think he read it from Matthew. Mark chapter 15 and verse 15. Then they came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demon-possessed and had the legion of demons living in him, sitting and clothed and in his right mind. God cared about this man and his mental state. And God brought him to the place where he was sitting there in his right mind. Where does or did depression come from? Proverbs chapter 12, verse 25 says, anxiety in the heart of man causes depression. So this doesn't necessarily answer our question. It tells us one of the causes of depression is that we harbor anxiety, worry in our hearts. Depression came from the fall, from sin. We have no thought in Scripture that God in eternity past, before any creation, had depression. We have no thought or any Scripture that would indicate in any way that man, Adam, in the garden with Eve prior to sin, would have ever in any way struggled with depression. We have every evidence and see it that after the fall, after anxiety, after whatever, there is depression. Depression is a result of the fall that has come upon this world. Not necessarily because I have sinned, and we're going to get into this, but because there is sin, because it marred this creation. There was no cancer in the garden. There is cancer now because of sin, not necessarily because somebody sinned, but because of sin. And you can add anything to that. Next question. Is it sinful to suffer from depression? So somebody is in the state of being depressed. Is it sinful for that person to be in that state? So the answer would be no, in so much as it results from sin, the root, living in a fallen condition. And we'll explain this a little bit more, the other aspects of depression. But think of it like this. Is it sinful for somebody to be a diabetic? It's a physical ailment that somebody has, and I would think that everybody here would say, no, it is not sinful to be a diabetic. It might have been through sin that somebody became a diabetic, depending on what type, or it may not have been. But to be in the state of having diabetes because of the fall, because of sin, is not sin in and of itself. So depression, I do not believe, is to be depressed as it deals with sin, it isn't to be actively sinning. Is it ever sinful to suffer from depression? And I think the answer to that is yes. When my will is keeping me depressed, it is sin. And I'm going to give you a personal example of this. And I'm doing it for two reasons. One, to give an example that I have, and two, so that you guys know that I'm not looking down on anybody here who might struggle with depression, as if I'm above it, as if that's not me. So my wife and I, I'll speak for myself, have a awesome marriage, relationship. And I am thankful to the Lord for it. However, there are times when we're not clicking. And I have certain expectations, and my wife has certain expectations, and maybe I'm not meeting her expectations, and she's not meeting my expectations, and we're just not clicking. And in those times, I have gotten depressed. And in those specific situations, the circumstance that I'm talking to you about, my own personal experience, when this happens to me, I will be depressed. I'll have this cloud over me. And I'm frustrated, short, with my kids, probably with my wife. And the Lord is convicting me that this is not Christianity. This is not me. This is not Christ. And my will is saying, she's not meeting my expectations. And my pride is telling me, when she meets my expectations, I'll snap out of it. Now, she might start meeting my expectations, and I might snap out of it, but that does not take care of the issue of sin. That does not take care of the issue of me getting into the depression, or staying there, or expecting her to get me out of it. And if she doesn't start meeting my expectations, sometimes I stay in there for days, a week. If you talk to her, maybe it'll be longer. Don't talk to her. So for me to have that depression, have that cloud over me, be in that state, know how I should get over it, I should go up to her and give her a hug, give her a kiss, ask her, what can I do to help you? Start doing things that she doesn't even know. And start serving. Start meeting her expectations. Stop thinking about me, what I'm not getting. That would probably help a lot. But it still wouldn't address that sin. And so it's important, as we had last night, it's important to address that sin. It's not just snapping out of depression. It's asking, what kind of depression was I in? And dealing with that depression before God. Can depression be the result of circumstance? So, we've all, if you've lived long enough, you've had bad circumstances. And yes, circumstances can cause depression. They can lead us down this path to depression. But it doesn't justify it. So yes, a circumstance could cause us to be depressed, but it doesn't justify it. So let's just look at a verse that shows this in Jonah chapter 4. Jonah chapter 4 and verse 6. And the Lord God prepared a plant and made it come up over Jonah, that it might be shade for his head to deliver him from his misery. So Jonah was very grateful for the plant. But as the morning dawned, the next day, God prepared a worm. And it so damaged the plant that it withered. And it happened when the sun arose that God prepared a vehement east wind. And the sun beat on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. Then he wished death for himself. And said, it is better for me to die than to live. Circumstances, as has been said many times in the past, do not make a state of soul. They simply manifest it. We heard last night about David. David had that terrible situation happen to him. His wives were taken. His children were taken. He weeps probably from the standpoint of believing they were dead until he had no more energy left to weep. And then he encouraged himself in the Lord. The people that were with him didn't do that. We have to recognize God as the first cause. When a circumstance happens, no matter how horrific, and there are horrific circumstances. We heard of one Monday morning with Gideon. I can't even wrap my mind around it. And yet God is the first cause. God is the one who sent Jonah. God is the one who prepared the gourd. God is the one who prepared the worm. It's God. And so in every circumstance of life, what is going to provide help is when we recognize in that circumstance that God is the first cause. We want to say it's this and it's that. It's my wife. It's my kids. It's the brother. It's the sister. It's the assembly. Whatever it is, God is the first cause. You're actually blaming God. You're saying a different name, a different thing, but it's really God. He's the one who let it happen. He is God. And so, yes, depression could come as a result of circumstance, but it is not justified. We can't be overtaken by a circumstance and be depressed and then say, I'm depressed because this. I'm depressed because God did this to me. No. I mean, you can say that, but it's not right. It's not Christian. It's not Christ. It's not that new life. Can depression be the result of sinning, not the fall, of actually committing sins? Yes, it can. We can get caught into sinning and get depressed over it. Let's look again at Jonah chapter 4, the first verse. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he became angry because Nineveh repented. This is so shocking. So he prayed to the Lord and said, Ah, Lord, was not this what I said when I was still in my country? Therefore I fled previously to Tarshish, for I know that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger, abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life, for it is better for me to die than to live. Isn't that the craziest thing? We can be just like Jonah. We can be no different. Jonah's sin was being bitter against God. Knowing that God was merciful, not wanting to go to Nineveh because he knew he was going to forgive them, and then being angry when he did. He was depressed. He said, kill me. Take my life. I don't want to live because you forgave those people. This is the heart of man. This is what's in our fallen hearts. What do we have to do when we fall into this kind of depression? We have to return to the point of departure. So we walk with God. Jonah walked with God with his life. He's a prophet of God. And at some point in Jonah's life, he departed from God. It might have been long before the call to go to Nineveh. That's where we take up the story. If that was the point of departure, Jonah needs to retrace his steps, get back to the point where he recognized God was slow to anger, abundant in loving kindness. And the point that he departed from that, thinking that God shouldn't be that, he has to come back to that point. He has to confess it. That's sin. And when he does that, he will be freed from this depression that he got to as a result of sinning. Not as a result of the fall of man, not as a result of like some hormonal imbalance, not a result of like postpartum depression or anything like that. This is a result of actually me committing sins and then falling into a depression. and then expecting to get out of it without ever addressing those sins. That might happen. You might snap out of it. You might get out of that depression. But you're going to have to go through another trial because God loves you too much. It might be depression. It might be something else. God is the first cause. He sends these things into our life to expose things, as, again, we had last night. And we need to take those from God and take God up with them. Tonight, we're talking about depression. Can I excuse sinful behavior due to being depressed? So I get depressed, and I start doing things that are contrary to the Word of God, however big, however small. Can I do that? Even if the depression is not caused by me sinning, what if it's caused by some hormonal imbalance? What if it's caused by postpartum depression? What if it's caused by legitimate misfirings in our mind, in our brain? We are fearfully and wonderfully made. It's a miracle that any one of us is here right now. The things that have to go right moment by moment. It's a miracle. And yet here we're all here. So let's say that something went off and I'm in this depression and it has nothing to do with something I've done. It has nothing to do with a circumstance. It literally is a medical condition. Something is wrong inside of me. Am I justified in sinning since I am in this condition? Does God or His Word give license for us to do what is wrong because I'm depressed? And the answer is no. Sin is never justified. Sin is never justified. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4 says, "Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness." There's one situation that I can find in the Word of God where, and I'm not even sure about this, where somebody could say, "This sin that was done was not me." And that is with an unbeliever who is demon-possessed. You'll read in Mark of a boy who is demon-possessed, and what is presented is that the demon cast the boy in the water, trying to kill him, cast him in the fire, trying to kill him or harm him. And it's presented as if the demon is doing this. That boy needed to be freed from that demon and needed life. You and I, having the Spirit of God in us, do not have a demon residing in this body with the Spirit of God. Everything that we do is, if it's sin, it is sin and we are responsible for it. If we get so depressed, however depressed we are, we can never justify any sin that we commit and say, "That was the depression talking. That was the depression acting." No. That depression may remove the facade that we all have. Facade isn't the right word. I'm struggling to come up with a word. That tells us this isn't right or this isn't wrong. Some people who struggle with dementia have this. The character of the person is exposed. There's no more the ability to know what is socially acceptable or not. And it just comes out. And the people who have had a tender heart, it's the same person that you saw before. But the people who kept a facade, oftentimes you see a very ugly picture of man. And when we get into a state of depression, we can have that removed, that facade, I'm using facade, removed. And we might act out in a way that we otherwise wouldn't. But it's not the depression speaking. It's the flesh. And if we act according to the flesh, we need to judge it. And we need to talk to the Lord about it. And when we come out of that depression, it can't be, well, that was just the depression. That wasn't me. No. Sin is sin. Can a doctor heal me of depression? Let's look at Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, verse 31. Jesus answered and said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick." So here's the Lord, God of this universe. He says that those who are sick need a physician. So I think that the answer to can a doctor heal me of depression, it depends what we're calling depression. If we're calling depression, again, going back to the beginning of the meeting, if we're calling depression sadness, just sadness, a doctor can give me something that makes me happy. It also depends on how you're calling heal, what you're calling healing. What a doctor cannot do in regards to these different aspects of depression that we're taking up is a doctor cannot fix the root of sin. In our assembly, Phil Algali, and I was talking to him about this subject a year or so ago, and he was talking about at his practice, somebody will come in and they're depressed. And he has like 15 minutes with them. And he doesn't have the ability to take the time that is needed to drill down into the life to see what is happening and what is going on. And so he does what he can do for the person. A doctor cannot fix sin, the root, whether the person's a believer or not a believer. A doctor cannot grant repentance for our sins. If we are depressed and we have gone to that doctor because we're depressed and that depression is a result of me sinning and I'm depressed over this sinning, but I want a doctor to fix it, is that doctor going to be able to fix it? No. A doctor can't fix our sin. He's not like a go-between between us and God. There is one, the Lord Jesus Christ. A doctor usually cannot change our circumstances. Usually. Maybe if we were depressed because we were poor and you went to a doctor and a doctor says, I'll give you all my money, and you became very rich, he could change your circumstances. That's very unlikely to happen. A doctor usually cannot change our circumstances. So what can a doctor do? Well, a doctor can give us medication to help with the symptoms of depression. And that medication will give us a feeling of being free from the symptoms of depression. But what happens when the feelings or the feeling has worn off? Well, we have to take more of whatever the doctor gave us. What happens when the amount that we took isn't enough and we have to increase and increase and increase? Those are things we need to think about. We need to think about, before we go to that doctor, we need to ask ourselves, what kind of depression do I have? Do I have a depression that is the result of me sinning? Do I have a depression that's a result of circumstances? Do I have a depression that's a result of my will? I can't answer those questions for you. I'm not a doctor. I can't look into your heart. I'm not God. The point of this meeting is not for me to be prescriptive with you, but to shed light on the truth that is in the Word of God in regards to depression, in the hopes that all of us, me included, will allow this light to help us in our decision making. I am not in any way, shape, or form belittling going to a doctor. If you have a difficulty with your mind and you feel that you should go to the doctor, go to the doctor. If you feel that that medication is needed to help you in the situation that you're in because you are so depressed, take the medication. I'm not saying not to. But also consider and think about God and His Word and why you're there. Talk to the Lord about it. Where does depression lead us? Ultimately, depression leads us to suicide, self-murder. That is Satan's ultimate goal. The destruction of a life from being used for the Lord. He wants you to be so depressed to think that your only way out is not to go to Him, but to just end your life and to murder yourself. Are suicidal thoughts sin? No. We have a flesh, we have an old master, we have sin in us, and that old master calls out things all the time, sends them into our mind. Do this, do that, kill yourself. What is imperative is that we don't dwell on anything, whether it's in the context of this meeting, self-murder, or fornication, adultery, railing, anything. Anytime that he calls out, it is imperative that we do not dwell on that thought. The moment we stop that thought in our mind, here it comes, and we bring it back, and we start thinking about it. That's sin. That is active sin. If we don't judge that active sin, another one's going to come. Another one's going to come. And pretty soon, we're going to be suicidal. Even a believer. Elijah, tremendous servant of the Lord, asked for the Lord to take his life. Jonah, tremendous servant of the Lord, asked for the Lord to take his life. Others in the Word of God we read about actually acted on it. How do I combat these thoughts? They come, sin is telling me to do something, I'm depressed, I'm in a vulnerable state already. How do I combat them? Let's look at Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6 and verse 11. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Here's the key. We talked about a dead man the other day on the table there. And in Scripture, we get two illustrations of men who are dead. First, we get the man who is dead in trespasses and sins, and he needs life from God to live. The second one is that we see man alive to sin, to that old master, and what he needs is death. And so what we're talking about tonight, because we're talking to believers, is that second one. And when that old master, sin, starts calling out to you, when you're depressed, or whatever is going through your mind, how do you respond? Do you catch that thought as it comes? No. We respond as if we are dead. A dead man laying on that table on the table there in the middle of the room, and somebody calls out and says, "Kill yourself. Go commit self-murder." How does that dead man respond? What does he do? What does he do? Nothing. Why? He's dead. He's dead. He responds to that thought as if he's dead, but alive to Christ Jesus, that new master who would never tell you to do that, ever. No matter the circumstance, no matter the situation, no matter what you are in, no matter how bad sin, because of the fall, has so messed with your mind, he would never tell you to do that. That is not the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the voice of sin, that old master. Respond to it as if you were dead. What is the key to overcoming depression? Not just snapping out of it until we fall back into it again. not taking some medication that will wear off eventually. What is the key to overcoming depression? The Word of God and prayer. Now, I know that probably if you have suffered from depression, you might be rolling your eyes right now and saying, I've heard that a million times. Let me explain the Word of God and prayer through a verse in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. I don't set before you the Word of God and prayer as if it's this special antidote that's going to free you from depression. If it is the depression that is the result of me sinning, it will. If it is the depression that is a result of the circumstances, it will. If it's a depression that is a result of my will staying depressed, it will. But if it's actually what I'll call a medical condition, I don't have a better word to talk about it, something is actually wrong inside the mind, a depression that is from the mind, I don't set before you some magical formula that's going to somehow mystically help you or deliver you from any thought of depression. But listen to what this verse says. It says, no temptation, and temptation here is a trial. It's not like I was tempted to steal a candy bar. So no trial has overtaken you except such as common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tried beyond what you are able, but will with the trial will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. What do you do when you're in a situation that is a circumstance that is seems like it's hopeless? Like it cannot go away. Like there's no hope of getting out of it. It's quite possible that you're not going to get out of it. It's quite possible that if in the context of our meeting tonight, you have a depression that you're never going to be freed from. But you have a God who is the first cause. You have a God who gave you that trial. And it says in Romans chapter 8, it's for our good. It works for our good. And you have a God who won't give you anything more than you can bear, even if you think otherwise. We have to take God up at his word and say, let God be true and every man a liar. If I'm saying this is beyond my ability, I can't do this, I need to end it, God says not so. That's not true. That's a lie of the devil. That's a lie of sin. He is going to give you a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. I don't belittle it. I don't know what you're going through if you're in that kind of depression. I haven't struggled with that kind of depression. But I do know what God has said. And you know what God has said. You just heard it. And God is true. What is the conclusion? The conclusion is, again, as I mentioned a little bit earlier, we got a little bit ahead. If you're struggling with depression tonight, I don't know what kind of depression you have, of the different various kinds that we've taken up. And perhaps there's more than the ones that we've taken up. I'm not trying to say that this was a all-encompassing list. I can't diagnose it. I don't know your heart. God does. God. The one who created everything, the one who is currently right now sustaining all things by the word of his power, the one who's giving you the very breath to breathe, that God, you can go to him. You can turn to him and ask him and talk to him about it. We must, as we struggle with depression in whatever form, whatever capacity, whatever amount, we must first, go to the Lord and talk to him about it. If we think that we're going to somehow bypass the Lord and go to anything else, the wisdom of this world, whether it's the medical or Google or whatever, and we're going to bypass the Lord and what he's saying to us as the first cause, and his rights in our life in regards to what we are doing and what we are done, we're mistaken. There are no shortcuts. One final verse. 1 Peter chapter 5. Final verses. 1 Peter chapter 5. Verse 6. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.